Good morning, everybody. My name is Jill, and I'm the Manhattan Beach Campus pastor here at the church. Oh, what a wonderful morning for you to join us here today. Also, now's the time in our service where we're connecting live over to our Torrance campus. I just got to be over there at the campus for the women's event on Friday, and it was so good to be there, to have everyone from both campuses coming together, and it really was a great women's event. I hope you were able to go to that and enjoy that. Also, anyone online, thank you for joining us. We are starting a new series of messages that we are calling Milestones. And in this series, we're going to be looking through some developmental milestones that we all should have hit when we were young. There are emotional milestones, social milestones, and spiritual milestones that when those things are shaped in us in a healthy and growing way, they can help us live a life that's centered and directed by Christ. But what some of us may not even realize is that while we should have developed these when we were young, a lot of us are grown-ups and we might have missed one along the way. And what can happen is when we have these gaps in our development, they don't just disappear because you're suddenly grown, but instead they can come out in ways that begin to affect our lives and affect our relationships and even affect our faith. And so we wanted to spend 3 weeks on this, looking through stories from Jesus' life, understanding more about what does the Bible have to say about these milestones and how it can make a difference in our lives. And now this series is also based on this book. It's called Are My Kids on Track? And we actually used this book for a parenting class last fall, and it was incredibly eye-opening, and it was really practical, and it was so clear in how it unpacked the ways we accidentally miss these milestones in our lives and in the next generation that we might be making a difference in their lives, and then also some really practical ways on how you can develop them no matter what age that you are. And so we are not going to be able to cover this whole book in 3 weeks. So if something stands out to you, or if this is something that you want to spend more time working on in your life, I would encourage you to pick this book up. Even if you don't have little kids, it's really insightful in understanding the way that we work, the ways that can be harmful to us, and the ways that we can help one another grow and get better. So please check that out. The idea would be that as we're growing and as we're taking on these milestones, it would have a positive impact on the next generation. Whether you're parenting or coaching or teaching or living or working alongside someone younger than you who's in the next generation, as we work on developing these milestones, we can help them get started on the right track. So today we're going to be looking first at the emotional milestones that all of us need to reach. Now, it's kind of a spoiler alert, but I just wanted to throw these four milestones on one screen so that you can see them very clearly. Here's what they are. Today, we're going to be spending more time talking about perspective and resourcefulness. Now, emotions, having emotions, experiencing emotions, that's something that I have had to learn and relearn how to do in a healthy way as an adult. Back in spring of 2022, I began to notice that I just had so much anger. Like, dare I say, rage. And it was just existing right here under the surface all of the time. And little insignificant, unintentional, unimportant things would just make me feel these big and unfamiliar feelings. And I realized I'm off track. I did not know what to do with this new and unfamiliar feeling that I was having, and it wasn't good for me, and it was not good for the people around me. So I needed to figure out something to do. About the same time, I had a friend who went to a rage room. Have you heard of a rage room? Basically, you pay money to get to break stuff on purpose. Right? I heard of this and I thought, this is it. This is going to be what heals me. And if you did it, maybe it was so good for you. I never actually went because I had a conversation with Pastor Jason and I told him, I told him that I was thinking, I'm going to go to this rage room, I'm going to get out all my feelings and then I'll be better. And he said, you could pay money to go break things. But what if there's not enough things? What if you're still angry? Then what do you do? And he was right, and he redirected me to see a counselor. And so I and you know what, it worked, right? And for a couple of months, I went to this counselor and she really helped me develop the perspective I was missing on some things, or even to just identify the feelings that were existing that I wasn't naming and I wasn't even allowing myself to feel, that now were just coming up and threatening to make a negative impact on my life. And in a lot of ways, we're not different than kids. We have emotions that are going on inside of us all of the time. Some are big and we don't know what to do with them, but the difference is that kids are expected to be learning how to process their emotions with the help of an adult, and adults are expected to already know what to do. But if you don't know what to do, what do you do? Will you pretend? Right? Or once you become aware, maybe you do try. Maybe you try to begin to learn how to have a healthy relationship with your emotions. And some of us are trying to relearn this process while we are raising children to also learn how to have a healthy relationship with their emotions. And what can happen is if we don't have a grasp on how to process them in a healthy way, we resort to control. Either we have full control of our emotions and we deny them and control them and do not let them play any part in our life, or we let our emotions completely control us. We're a bit off the cuff. We live life wildly. Everyone knows what we feel all of the time. But the good news is there's a better choice. And that's what we see from Jesus and in the Bible, is that we can fully experience our emotions in a healthy way that better helps us understand God's work in us and our relationship to other people. So here's our main idea for today. We can become emotionally healthy people. Now, one of the clearest measurements of your emotional health is whether or not you're responding to the world around you, or whether or not you're just reacting all of the time to the people and the circumstances in it. Emotionally healthy people are aware when they have a feeling. They're able to say what's going on. They slow down. They think clearly. They stay present. And they're able to choose a response to the situation that reflects who they want to be and not just what they're feeling in that moment. Now, if you're at a space where you might feel that you've missed a milestone, or maybe you're stuck somewhere, the good news is that Jesus offers us a way through our strong feelings and a way forward in how to deal with them. We'll see that in our story today in an interaction with Jesus and his friends, the disciples. You can find it in Mark 4, 35 through 41. Now, when we get to this passage in the Bible, Jesus has been at work all day. He's been teaching, he's been healing, he's been meeting the needs of everyone else, and he just needs a break. So here's what it says. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. Now, do you ever have a moment when you're reading the Bible and you just feel so known by God? For me, it was in this parentheses right here, "although other boats followed," because have you ever been around your children or kids and you're like, "I just need a break. I'm just gonna sneak away for a second," and the little boats follow you. And I was like, Jesus gets it. He sees, he knows the struggle, right? He just needed a moment to rest and recharge. And so as they're going out on the lake, here's what happens. But soon a fierce storm came up. The high waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. If this isn't self-care, I don't know what is. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" A lot is happening here. All of this big giant storm coming, and Jesus is either so tired that he's asleep, or he's pretending to be asleep to see if the disciples can handle it. And what we see is that they can't, right? Their fear overwhelms them. They become so afraid that they immediately go to the worst case scenario. They're like, we're going to die. And not only that, Jesus, you don't even care about us. And thankfully, Jesus has God-tier emotional health. So here's what we see he does. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. And I think there's something really important happening in this section of scripture. And it's that Jesus calmed the storm before he taught the lesson. And there are times where our emotions or our kids' emotions, they feel like a big, giant storm. And we might think that that's the right moment, but what we see is that Jesus brought great calm. And in that great calm, Jesus asks them a question. He's showing them that we're off track here. And he makes the invitation to let their faith shape their perspective and not the other way around. And we need the same reminder too. So the first way that you can grow in your emotional health is when you allow Jesus and his teachings to shape your perspective. Now, the disciples, they let their emotions completely hijack their perspective. As the storm is going and they're getting wet, and then suddenly they're all terrified and afraid, and they forgot the most important detail to the situation. Literally, God is in the boat with them. And they couldn't see it. Instead of taking a pause and realizing what was going on and remembering who Jesus is and what he has done for them, they immediately jumped to blame and to big catastrophic thinking, right? They had this moment where they lost the perspective that Jesus wanted to bring to them. And we can all do this too, right? Perspective is when you can kind of see and understand the different factors that are going on to your situation and how they're making a difference in your feeling and your response. And unfortunately, there's some patterns of behavior that when we don't think clearly about our perspective, they end up showing up in different ways. So here's a couple of stumbling blocks to perspective. These are kind of the default responses that we go to when our perspective is clouded or when our perspective isn't helping us experience our emotions. Here's the first one, blame. Sometimes when we have a negative feeling, it's kind of painful. And instead of sitting in that pain, we shove that pain onto someone else. We say, you're not doing what you're supposed to. You're not helping me here. That takes the perspective and puts it on the other person and limits your ability to see your part in what's going on. Here's the next one, avoid. Now, avoid is when we don't even go towards the things that might make us have feelings. If we have a feeling, we change the subject. If we have a situation we don't like, we don't go there anymore. Right? Avoid keeps us separate and really out of touch with what's going on around us because we don't want to have to think about what's going on and how we're feeling about it. Here's the next one, deny. Now, this one is a non-acknowledgement of your feelings. This one looks like you saying, I'm fine when you're not fine, or it's okay when it is not okay. When we deny the feelings that are going on inside of us, it begins to distort our perspective on what's really going on and what we need to do to understand it. Here's one more. Exaggerate. Now, exaggerate is when we take the feeling of a threat and we treat it like it's a big, giant threat. Or we ignore what's actually going on by creating a hypothetical worst case scenario that we can stay focused on instead of just sitting with what we're going through. Now, as I was preparing for this message, I stumbled upon a very funny online trend that perfectly captured this idea of feeling like you're in threat when you're not actually. It's called the bear is chasing me trend. Here's how it goes. Unfortunately, my nervous system doesn't know the difference between being chased by a bear and lining up my tires at the car wash. You know that feeling when they're like, and you're like, oh, I'm sweating thinking about it, right? Okay, here was another one I saw. Unfortunately, my nervous system doesn't know the difference between being chased by a bear and the idea that I may have disappointed someone. Here's one more. Unfortunately, my nervous system doesn't know the difference between being chased by a bear and when they get my coffee order wrong. All right, how many of you just drink the wrong coffee? Anyone? No, how many of you actually go back and say, I asked for oat milk? Yeah, a couple of us. Apparently none of you drink coffee. I don't know how it is over at Torrance, right? But this is just a silly and funny way to describe that process where we encounter these regular challenges, and instead of just having perspective on them, we let it become a bigger deal. And all of those feelings that we don't know how to process end up blocking our perspective. So here's an action step for you to help develop some perspective around the regular challenges that you have in your life. It says, create and use a response continuum for a reoccurring challenge in your life. A response continuum, it looks like this. It's just a simple line that you plot out 1 through 10. And the goal of the response continuum is to help you see which experiences deserve the threat feelings that you have? Which are the things that might actually be a threat? Which just are the things that feel like they're a threat, right? So you think through your regular challenges. Are you anxious throughout the day? Do you find yourself shutting down and avoiding your life throughout the day? Do you find yourself angry and responding, saying hateful things that you know you don't want to say? Think about it. What's yours? And how can this tool help bring some perspective? So for the sake of example, we'll use mine, which was the rage that I was experiencing all throughout the day through little moments. And so for me, when I sat this down, as you're filling this out, you can either start with the easy ones and work your way to harder, or start with the harder ones and work your way down. So for me, it's things like at number one, this is when someone denies my ability to turn right on red. That really bothers me when they do that, but I shouldn't be enraged over it. It shouldn't wreck my day, right? Here's number two. When someone starts a sentence with, no offense, but, right? It's gonna be offensive, right? That bothers me, but I shouldn't be mad about it before I'm willing to listen to what they say, right? Number three, when my kids ask for a snack right after dinner, when dinner's on the table still, right? So you can see how we're progressing up. So you go all the way up to over here where, like, number eight, this would be like when I see or experience the abuse of power. Or this one, when dishonesty, someone's dishonesty is affecting my livelihood and reputation. Or 10, when someone is physically harming myself or someone I love. Right, so you can see how these don't deserve or are not the threat that these are. Most of the challenges, the real challenges that we face, are gonna fall in this 4 to 6 range. They're hard, they're difficult, but you can get through them. And you know that you've lost perspective when you're treating these kinds of challenges with the emotions of these. And so you can use this as a tool to help develop your perspective. Now, usually, I've used this with my overreactors, right? Those that everything feels like an 8, 9, or 10. This is when your kids say, "This is the worst day of my life," because you said they couldn't watch TV, right? So with your kids, you can also help them develop this skill. But I do want to say, if you're the kind of person that always lives here, right, you come across as unruffleable. You're like, "Nah, nothing really bothers me so much that I would ever move past here." That also may be a sign that emotionally you're a bit off track. Right? What might be the issue is that you don't feel mad or sad or angry or happy, but what it might be is that you need to work on developing your emotional vocabulary. There are more than you could imagine complex emotions that are going on inside of us, and we might not be able to have perspective on our experiences because we don't actually know how to say what we're feeling. So you can work on, as you develop that chart, if you don't know how to go from 1 to 10, learn the more complex emotions to begin to describe what you're feeling, because all of that work doesn't remove the challenges from your life. It just gives you the healthy perspective that you need to get through it. Because while we're not fighting an actual storm, we are facing difficult challenges. And so here's the second way that you can work on becoming an emotionally healthy person. It's remember that through Jesus, you can get through difficult circumstances. That moment that we read about with Jesus and the disciples got to a moment where they said, "We cannot get through this." But Jesus knew that they could. And I think that Jesus needed to remind them of that during that moment on the lake, but also for every other difficult encounter that they were going to experience the rest of their life. The disciples were going to go through things, and that they needed to remember that Jesus, who can control the wind and the waves, is right there with them to help them get through their difficult circumstances, not get them out of it. We read about another man in the Bible. His name was Paul. He was one of Jesus's earliest followers. And in Paul's life, he experienced intense persecution and imprisonment and scarcity and people just making his life so difficult. So remember his difficult circumstances when we read the advice that he gives to some of the early Christians at a church he was writing a letter to. Here's what he says to them. "How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you don't have a chance to help me. Not that I was never in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Paul is describing a process where through his circumstances, he has learned he can get through it because he has the strength of Jesus. And he had times with nothing, no food. That's a level 10 on the response continuum for me, right? But he says, it didn't matter. I got through it. I was able not to say, "This is too hard. I have to quit. I have to give up." But instead say, "I can see a way through this, because Christ can help me find a way through this." That is the emotional milestone of resourcefulness. Now, resourcefulness says I can get through my challenges with confidence and with curiosity and with perseverance. It says, if I don't have an answer, I can still move forward. I can ask for help. I can get creative. I can rely on Jesus to get me through whatever I'm going through. And now there are also stumbling blocks to resourcefulness. So let's walk through some of the default ways that we respond instead of getting resourceful. The first one is entitlement. Entitlement is the inherent belief that you deserve special treatment or special privileges so that your challenges are not actually your responsibility to solve. Somebody else needs to take care of your challenges for you. All right, here's the next one, perfectionism. Perfectionism says, my expectations are so impossibly high that failure is imminent. The risk of trying and aiming at perfection is so great that you can't even get started. You can't take one step forward because you're so afraid that you won't meet your expectations of yourself. Here's the next one. Numbing. Numbing says, I don't know what to do. And instead of thinking about it, I'm just going to distract myself. I'm going to use substances I shouldn't. I'm going to waste time in ways that are unhelpful to me or harmful to others. Numbing keeps your feelings so suppressed that you don't get, your body's trying to warn you through your emotions that you need to do something. You need to solve this challenge. But numbing keeps that at a tolerable level so that you don't find the motivation to move forward. Here's the last one, buffering. Buffering is when we try to soften the impact of the challenge so that it doesn't seem so bad. This looks like rushing to the bright side before we give space to the feeling. Sometimes, unfortunately, we can do this in really spiritual ways that buffer or soften the impact of the challenge. And what can happen is when we go to these things, which oftentimes these are the things that helped us cope and survive. These are the things that got us through, right? But what happens is when we continue to rely on these, when you're more mature, when you should have better ways to work through your emotions, it actually keeps us from the growth that we need to experience to develop better resourcefulness. Resorting to these makes our emotions feel more tolerable in the moment. But the only way to get more resourceful and better at handling difficult things is going through difficult things. We have to get better at sitting with our unpleasant emotions a little bit longer so that we know no matter what we're feeling, we can get to a space where we ask the better question, not of how do I get out of this, but how do I rely on God to get me through this? So here's an action step for you this week to grow this ability. Identify one area where you struggle to practice resourcefulness. Is there a space in your life where you're stuck, where you don't know a solution, where you need to say, God, help me. Help me get through this. Help me get creative. Help me find what's missing so that I can work through my present challenges. Now, oftentimes when we don't have resourcefulness, it's because something else is missing. It could be that you're lacking motivation. Maybe you really are like, I don't know. I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know if it's worth the effort. I don't really see a way forward. And what you need to do is get creative and say, what would work? God, show me what you're doing. Show me how you would have me respond. Really dig at uncovering your internal motivation that will help you start taking the steps forward that you need. For some of you, it's confidence, right? Maybe you have an inner voice that's actively fighting you and saying, you can't do it. You're not strong enough. You won't get through this, right? But even though we see in the Bible that Jesus says, I will give you what you need. I will get you through everything. So is your confidence keeping you from being resourceful? And some of us, we just need more experience. We needed more experience with it not going well, with it not going the way that we want. Maybe set some goals that will be hard to reach, and when you fail them, it's okay. Or try something new that you'll be bad at the first time you try it. Or because then you'll begin to see you can go through things where it doesn't work out for you, and you survived. You had the ability to keep going. All of those things will help us develop the emotional skill that we need of resourcefulness so that we don't get stopped in our tracks or stuck by difficult things. But we're able to say, I don't know the solution yet, but I know it will come. I know God will help get me there. I know I've got people in my life who can help me solve this challenge. Now, the goal with all of these milestones, with your emotional health, is not perfection. It's not that you would respond or that your kids would respond in health every single time. But the goal is progress. The goal is that as you're trying and as you're growing, you would experience a little bit more health at the time, a life that's a little bit more centered on how Jesus would have us feel and experience our feelings, but that would help us understand how he's at work in our life and how that makes a difference in our relationship with others. We get to hear more about that from Pastor Jason next week as we build on the milestone of emotional health and move into some of those social milestones. So here's what we talked about today. We can become emotionally healthy people when we allow Jesus and his teaching to shape your perspective and remember that through Jesus, you can get through your difficult circumstances. We're gonna close out our service today in prayer. So if you would please stand both here in Manhattan, also over at our Torrance campus. If you need to talk with someone today, if you need prayer for perspective or resourcefulness or someone to just talk to today, we have an amazing team of volunteers at the cross in the front of both of our auditoriums. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for the way that you made us. Help all of the parts of us draw us closer to you. God, make us able to see and understand where you're at work in our life. God, calm the storms. Bring great calm to everyone in this room, whatever their difficult circumstances look like today, so that they can begin to grow and live and relate to everyone in the way that you have called us to. Jesus, we're so thankful for your patience with us always. We're so thankful for your gentle redirection. May our faith shape the way that we feel and that we live. In your name I pray, amen. Have a great day. We can't wait to see you next week.